While the world focuses on the ongoing conflict in Darfur, people in southern Sudan are working to rebuild their communities during a time of fragile peace. The region lost 2 million people during 2 decades of war, and another 4 million individuals have been displaced, many of them children. John Buldow is one of the Lost Boys of Sudan and the author of the memoir God Grew Tired of Us. A documentary of the same title was released last year. Mr. Dow is the director of the Sudan Project for the organization Direct Change, and I'm very pleased it has brought him to our show. Hello.
Thank you.
A peace treaty was signed in January 2005 in Nairobi. What has life in southern Sudan been like since then?
Well, I think life in southern Sudan is now getting better because there's no civil war and people are trying to rebuild their life.
Are they coming back?
They're coming back.
People who are refugees?
Yes, they're coming back from Uganda, from Kenya, from Egypt, from Eritrea, from Ethiopia, and even from America. Some of them are going back to rebuild the country.
Now, many people have confused this conflict with the one in Darfur. Are they connected in any way?
They are connected. These are what we call a copycat, because the war in southern Sudan started in 1983 and ended in 2005. And that war is because the northern Sudanese Muslim Arab in the north that have been fighting Christian in the south. And first of all, they were united with the Darfur first. They were fighting us. They've been killing southern Sudanese people. And because of two of them, I mean, the people in Darfur and the north are Muslim, whereas the people in the south are Christian, African. Now, until 2003, when southern Sudanese were gaining their right, actually the United States, UK, and other countries were putting a pressure on the government of Sudan to sign a peace. Now, when the peace was signed or about to be signed, because southern Sudanese will you know, have to govern themselves, the oil revenue will be split into 50-50. Now, the people in Darfur said, okay, then we have been fighting alongside you, and you guys are not building infrastructures, including hospital, school, roads. And now, Southern Sudan, because they have been fighting you, and that is why you are giving them 50-50, something like that. So if our right can be obtained through the barrel of gun, then we are going to fight you. And then the war broke out in 2003 between the Darfur and the Northern Arab. And that is what I call a copycat, because that's exactly what was the war about in southern Sudan. It's about marginalization. It's about neglecting the people who are supposed to get all those services.
But there's also a religious factor, and there isn't one in Darfur.
Yeah, the people in Darfur are black, African, Muslim. And the north are Arab, Muslim. All of them, they have the same religion. But the interesting thing is that they are fighting because of marginalization. They have been neglected, and they have been fighting alongside their Arab fighting us.
How old were you when you were forced to leave? You're a member of the Dinka?
Yes, I was 13 years old.
Uh-huh. And how long ago was that?
It was in 1987, when I was 13 years old. Our village was attacked, and that's what because of that war, not only our village but the other different villages, that because of that attack, and then left out to be called today as Lost Boys and Lost Girls.
And you wound up in refugee camps for quite a while, and then eventually came to the United States and moved to, of all places, Syracuse. And there's nothing wrong with Syracuse, but it's not the place I would imagine someone from Africa would think of. It's rather cold, isn't it?
Well, we didn't know that when we were in Africa. Actually, we were not even given a choice to choose. And of course, by the way, you're coming to America, regardless whether Syracuse is cold. Of course, it's very cold. And so I just found my name, John Dow. You're going to Syracuse, New York. I don't regret coming to Syracuse, New York. It's a great, great state, great city. I like to be in Syracuse because I am able to see all these four seasons. So southern Sudan is hot, not that hot. But it's very good also to be in Syracuse, which I call Syracuse home.
There was a real culture shock from the start, wasn't there? You were surprised that a woman came to pick you up at the airport, and she was driving a car. That's something that wouldn't have happened in back home?
Yes, it was something that if you read my book, God Grew Tired of Us, you can come across all of the cultural shock. Of course, I saw the woman that picked us up at the airport at Syracuse on a car, not only driving a car, but on a car. I didn't know that. I was amazed that a woman can sit behind the wheel and even has a car that she could call her own. I have never seen that in Southern Sudan.
Well, do you think that this experience, of your experience and of the other lost boys and girls, will change life back in Sudan when people return because they have come in contact with more Western ideas?
It is. It's going to change. But, of course, we will be really cautious of the cultural conflicts there. But it will change life. And that is why you can see Lost Boy going back to do something.
Like have the Lost Boys maintained some kind of connection to each other?
They are. Because in this country, America, so good, it's a very good country where the means of communication is so simple. Now you have cell phone, landline, internet, you have mailing system, which is so clear in America. So the Lost Boy having a good time here talking to each other.
You also had, you were followed by a filmmaker, Christopher Quinn, and that must have been odd because you were filmed during some of the most intimate moments of your life, like when you were reunited with your mother.
That's correct. I actually allowed this guy to come into my life because one, I know the problem in Southern Sudan has been a forgotten problem. People in the world don't know about Southern Sudan war. So, and I thought, this is how you can do it. You sacrifice your privacy for the betterment of the community. And that's why I allowed the filmmaker to be, you know, always in my apartment, because that's how I can spread the word, because I came to realize that if you want to let people know something, you know, associate yourself with the media, whether it's the media, the radio or television or something like that. This is a perfect way to let other people know, because the American people are not aware of what was going on in Southern Sudan.
Now, you said that you consider Syracuse to be your home, but I'm assuming that you've moved back to Southern Sudan.
Well, I have been sworn in as American citizen at the end of 2006, and I am happy that I'm going to enjoy all these two countries, the United States of America, the Southern Sudan. So I will be moving back and forth. I will be, stay here in America and help people back in Africa, and that's why I'm building a medical clinic there.
As director of the Sudan Project for an organization called Direct Change?
Yes, I am the director of Sudan Project. If you want to know more about it, you can go to www.directchange.org, and mm-hmm. then you can know more about us.
Were there good medical facilities before the war? Will this mean a major improvement in a way that you probably couldn't have had otherwise?
I got to tell you, this is a huge, huge help to our people. I remember we have about 12 volunteers, American volunteers back in Southern Sudan right now. When they called me and they said, you know, when they hook up the generator, the two generators that we have sent to produce electricity, people work from a mile away to come and see electricity for the first time. This medical clinic will be the first medical clinic built in that country, in that county, since God created the world. There has never been a medical clinic before. When you are sick in Southern Sudan, you have to have maybe about 18 to 22 strong young men to carry you at a distance of 75 miles away. Some other people may die on the way. You know, we have never been vaccinated. You know, as myself, I've never been vaccinated. So I'm hoping that this medical clinic will do the same thing.
And although there are parts of Africa where rumors have been spread that vaccination and other things will actually cause disease, so how do you get past some of the old ideas?
Well, I think that's another way of preventing well-wishers, those who could help people there. How will that cause the other diseases if the vaccination doesn't even cause any other diseases in America or in Europe or somewhere else. That's completely a lie.
And where will this clinic be built?
It's built in Duke County right now. It will be up and running in middle of April this year. So people are now almost completing it in Duke County, where I was born.
And I'm assuming that you're here fundraising to get more supplies.
That's correct. That's correct. I am fundraising right now. I've been talking to a group of individuals. I've been talking to students. I've been talking to charities, organizations. So people have been, well, the American people have been so generous. They've been giving money to go toward that project. 100% of the money raised to go to the clinic would go to, I mean, because nobody's paid. It's completely... But those who are working on it, including myself, we are volunteers.
And you'll be speaking tomorrow here in New York?
Yes, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow here in New York, talk to a group of teachers, about, 1,000 to 3,000 teachers there. Can't wait to talk to them.
And you're also studying public policy in Syracuse?
That's correct. I am majoring in public policy at Syracuse Maxwell School of Citizenship.
So this, there won't be a brain drain. People will come here, were forced to come here, now will go back and bring everything that they've learned to creating a better situation in Southern Sudan. Do you think the peace will last?
Peace will last. Peace will last only when the United States of America will stay focused on it. Peace will last only when the Southern Sudanese will unite themselves and refuse to kill themselves, because the Muslim in the north would want them to kill themselves. So, and now they realize that, no, we can't kill ourselves. So peace will hold. Peace will hold only when the UN keep those peacekeeping posts there.
John Boldow's memoir, God Grew Tired of Us, is published by National Geographic. There's also a film. He is director of the Sudan Project for Direct Change. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.